Take your Bibles, remain standing with me if you will. Go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'll read 8 verses for you. You won't have to read any out loud. Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll read verses 1 through 8. I'll read aloud. You'll just follow along there silently. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Title of this evening's message is this: a command to follow God. A command to follow God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again, Lord, not out of habit or ritual, but honestly, genuinely, and truly, Lord, we need you this evening. Holy Spirit, there's no way that a man could take a spiritual truth and deliver it properly, but I'll yield myself to you as best as I know how. I ask that you'd work through me, that you'd speak to hearts, Lord, that you'd convict, that you'd touch, that you'd encourage and strength. Lord, show us something this evening that we can do to become more like you. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. We're not going to show you anything new. In fact, I hesitate preaching a sermon like this because I know who's in this room. But this evening, I want to do a systems check. I think it's important, especially the longer you're in church, the more time you spend not examining the world or people around you, but looking at your own life. Because a lot of times we get comfortable in church, we get comfortable where we're at, and we begin to not see us and ourselves as we should. We don't see ourselves as God sees our lives. So this evening, I want to bring to you a very simple but yet somewhat meaty message, a command to follow God. Let me open with 4 statements this evening. Number 1, we are commanded to follow God as dear children. I love the Word of God. One of the reasons I don't like when man tampers with the Word of God is that they're changing the context of the Bible. Every word is in the Bible for a reason. And, you know, as a man, we would say, be followers of God as children. But the Bible says, be followers of God as dear children. That word dear means to be zealous or out of a heart of longingness. It means to be free from two-facedness. Bible saying, follow God as a child is genuine. Have you ever talked to a child and asked him a question? Whether you wanted to or not, you got his opinion. Whether it was politically correct or even right, it didn't matter. You asked him a question and you got what he was thinking. That's what God wants from us. He said, I want you to follow me genuinely. I don't want any two-facedness. Number 1, we're commanded to follow God as dear children. Number 2, we are commanded to walk in the love of Christ. Verse number 2 says just that, and walk in the love of Christ as also hath loved us. This is that agape love, that love without reciprocation, that love that does not need any return of investment, that love that says, regardless of what happens, I'm going to obey. That 3 Hebrew children type of love that said, the Lord can deliver us, but if not, we're still going to love and we're still going to obey. We are commanded to walk in the love of Christ. Number 3, in order to do that, we find that we are commanded to avoid the path of carnality. I cannot walk on the straight and narrow way and walk in God's word and walk on the path of following God at the same time. I am very nervous. Not just necessarily Baptist, but those who are saved, their view of their own life, what we've allowed ourselves to justify is okay, decent, and moral. We need to take a good, long look. It's coming to a time where television is probably no longer going to find its place in the house of a child of God. There was a time where it was decent, it was okay, but honestly, even old TV, if you go back and look at it, there were some things you shouldn't have been watching. And what we now call good shows, there were some things that were like, whoa, shouldn't be watching that. Amen. Are we following God? Or do we have hobbies? Do we have enjoyments of this world that we're clinging on to more than we are willing to follow God? What's the Bible tell me in the chapter previous to this in the book of Ephesians in verse number 17? This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, in the pride, in that carnal thinking, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Not being alienated from God, but from the life that God wants you to live. That word being alienated, being separated, your mind, the battle for the Christian life begins with the mind and the way you think. And the way you think determines how you act. Is your vain mind causing you to be separated from the life that God wants you to live through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart? Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new man. In order to follow God, it's like getting dressed in the morning. Well, like normal people do. You usually don't just put your day clothes over your PJs. You take off the PJs and you put on your day clothes. In order for me to follow God, I have got to take off the old man and then put on Christ. So many of us are putting on Christ as a facade to convince the world and other Christians that we're okay, but we're not following God as dear children. We are two-faced because deep down inside, we're living and walking in the carnal flesh. Our minds are not pure. Our hearts have been tainted by our carnal ways. Fornication, filthy talk, foolish talking, jesting, all these are listed in chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We find in verse number 5, not a loss of salvation. For this ye know that whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This means you lose your salvation, right? No. That inheritance as a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Too many Christians spend up their inheritance on earth. They live the life they want. They no longer get the blessings and rewards of a righteous life in heaven. They're saved and they're on their way to heaven, but they have forfeited the inheritance in the kingdom. They have not forfeited the kingdom of God where he lives and getting to heaven, but they've forfeited the joys of the inheritance while on earth, and they've lost and squandered the inheritance that they could have gained for heaven. They've already spent it like the prodigal son. They've lost their reward. So I said, number one, we are commanded to follow God as dear children. Said number two, we are commanded to walk in the love of Christ. Number three, we are commanded to avoid the path of carnality. And statement number four, we are commanded to not be deceived by any man. We read in Ephesians 5:17 to not walk as other Gentiles walked. We are not to have our understanding darkened. We read in chapter 5 and verse number 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. You know who your biggest enemy is? Yourself. You lie to yourself more than other people do. Now, you might blame other people for what you've already told yourself, because it's easier to blame somebody else than it is to point a finger at you and say it was you. But you can convince yourself of anything. Working in Florida with the teenagers, working here, working with people in general, the hardest thing you can get for anybody to see is that thou, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, right? It's not my brother, not my father, not my sister, not my mother-in-law, although she's really easy to blame. It's me. It's my fault. I'm the one. We are the ones. We choose our actions, not anybody else. Don't let another's doctrine deceive you. We find in verse number 6 that we are not to be deceived by vain words, but we also find we're not to be partakers with them. We'll find out later we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're not to be tossed about to and fro. We're not to live that unstable as water as a lifestyle as a Christian, where we know what is right, but we enjoy what we're doing more than what we love God. Who are we following in our lives this evening? The Bible explains a group of people in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9 where it says, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Oh, we'll preach hard on turning away from your own righteousness for salvation, but about how about your righteousness for sanctification as you serve God in a Christian life? If His righteousness was good enough for me to get saved, was His righteousness not good enough for me to follow? Well, we all embraced salvation so we could get to heaven. Why are we not willing to embrace His cloak of righteousness so we could enjoy the fruitfulness of the Christian life and lay aside those garments that have been spotted by the flesh? Are we following this world, living to please the flesh and disregarding our obligation to God, our Creator? I realize we live in this world, but we're not to be of this world. I realize I cannot isolate myself from the world, or I am no good, but I can insulate myself with the armor of God that I am to put on. I am to go out into the world protected and guarded. I am not to live like the world. We understand that, but I've got to be very careful that I don't live like this world. What about my logic? Am I following my logic? Or read the Bible, folks. Don't read what others say about the Bible. There's a lot. The Bible tells me in the book of John, I believe it is, that the Holy Spirit will guide you unto all truth. You don't need another man to tell you what the Bible means. You need to get on your knees. You need to put your face in the book and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what the Bible means. The Bible is its own dictionary. You don't need another dictionary. You don't need another language. We've got the inspired, preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. And the King James Bible, don't follow your logic and what man says the context of the Bible is. Do your own studying. I shouldn't convince myself that what I'm doing in the flesh is good enough. What does God want me to do? Am I following my opinion? Am I more consumed with facts about the Bible than I am knowing what the Bible says? We've got a world full of Christians. We've got a world full of people who have been saved and are backslidden. We've got a world full of people who are lost that know the facts of the Bible, but they aren't living it. They really don't know what the Bible says. They know the contents and the facts of it, but it's very surface. What does the Bible have to say about our walk as a Christian? We're commanded to walk in the way of God according to Jeremiah 7:23. But this thing I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. We need to see our responsibility of teaching others to walk in the way of God. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently. That's not just a one-time thing. That's over and over and over. Consistent repetition at home is where it begins. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That sounds a lot like the book of Joshua, where it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Amen. What do you think about? What do you conversate about? Now, I don't think you should be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I enjoy college sports. I enjoy the LSU Tigers, especially when they beat Ohio State. Amen. Somebody say amen there. All right. I enjoy golf, I enjoy fishing, I enjoy hunting, I enjoy spending time with my wife, I enjoy, we went on vacation enjoying the beautiful things that God has created. But do I enjoy those more? What do I talk about? Am I meditating on God's word? What comes out of my mouth when I'm talking with somebody? Am I teaching others how to walk in the way of God? Or does my life revolve solely in this cosmos? We must recognize our fleshly, reluctant attitude of walking in the right path. You don't naturally follow God. Regardless of how long you've been saved or how long you've gone to church, you don't naturally follow God. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Oh, we love this verse. Where is the good way and walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls? But they said, we will not walk therein. I wonder how many people come to a church day in and day out and leave the same and they're never changed. It was a good preaching. Boy, it was convicting. You stepped on my toes. Boy, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, but that's not, I'm not going to change, Lord. Bible says in Ezekiel 11:21 that we need to recognize the consequences of not walking as we should. But as for them whose heart walk not after the heart of their whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their heads, saith the Lord. We were always told as teenagers, yo, you better watch out, God's gonna strike you dead. You know, and that was a good illustration, you know, put the fear of God in us. But many times that's not how God works. Many times God allows us to walk on the path that we're on, and lets us come to our destructible end. He says, I will recompense their upon their own heads, their way. He says, I'm just going to let their own path destroy them. God may not physically destroy you, but he will not intervene as well. And he will allow you to travel down the path that you're on until you come to its destructive end. Let me very quickly give you 3 points this evening. Number one, as children of God, as a command to follow God, number one, we are commanded to be walking in the love of God, not in the lust of the flesh. We should spiritually be willing to express our love the same way that Christ expressed his love to us physically. A selfless sacrifice. What is Ephesians 5:2? And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How did Christ love us? And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. He died for the very ones that were crucifying him. He died for every single person that would ever breathe air and that would curse his name on this globe. He died for every single person, not because it was going to be reciprocated and accepted, but because he loved them. Are you willing to love him even if you don't get anything for it? Now, God knows us as humans. God understands our carnal ways, and he does give us rewards. He does give us blessings. But so many children of God follow and seek after those blessings and not to love God. And they miss out on both. Ephesians 5:2 says we're to walk in love. Love is expressed in an action, not an emotion or in a statement. In John 15:13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Well, we instantly think that that means that somebody jumps in front of a bullet or sacrifices his life. Well, yes, that's part of it. But as a friend, you know, some of you men here are my friends, and my so far to this point, it has not required me to jump in front of a bullet for you. So how do I lay down my life? I give up my will. I give up my desires to make and accommodate what you want to happen. As friends, we give up our will. We take our desires and we set them to the side. Have we looked at God and said, what do you want from me? Have we taken our will and our desire and said, God, I don't want you to just be a name in my life. I want to be your friend. I want you to be my friend. I'm going to set my will and my desires to the side. What do you want in my life? I am no longer going to walk in the lust of my flesh. I'm going to walk in the love of God. God's not asking you to die for him today, Christian. All he's asking you for to do is to crucify your flesh and live for him. Walking in love has 2 requirements. Number one, I've got to sacrifice my flesh. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. We studied this in Sunday school a couple weeks ago with the children and teenagers, did we not? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Yes, baptism is a picture of the death, the burial of Jesus Christ, but that's also a picture of my death, the death of my flesh. I crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Every day, think about that baptism. That not because I am reminded of salvation, but I am reminded of the death of my will, the death of my flesh, the death of my carnal mind, the death of my desires. I am to be raised in newness of life to walk in the love of Jesus Christ. We were baptized in His death. Just as Jesus Christ was physically crucified, buried, and arose from the grave daily, we are to be crucified, allowing our flesh to be buried so our new nature can arise. We are to spiritually follow Jesus Christ's physical example so that way we will receive the full benefit of being a child of our God, a child of God. We are to keep our old sin nature buried. We find that in Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. We also read in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 5, "For we, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection." You want to know why many Christians never give their will to God? Because they're afraid of what they're going to ask of Him.
Right.
We got to have the same faith that Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ went to Calvary and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He died willingly. He gave His life, believing that the Father would raise Him up. Are you willing to die today by faith, believing that God has something better for you tomorrow? Well, you just don't understand how much I love my life. You just don't understand how much that I would be giving up and sacrificing. God has never asked you to give up something that He's never given you back tenfold. You ask every single person who's ever yielded their life to God, they've never been happier. But I will line them up by the hundreds, those who have wished they would have given their life to God. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Why seek ye the weak and beggarly elements? How many times in our own Christian life do we look back at Egypt, in which we had the leeks and the onions and the garlics? Oh, we forget the pain. We forget the taskmasters. We forget the cry for God to deliver us. We only remember the pleasures of sin for a season. And now here we are in the wilderness, asked to live by faith, and we want to turn tail, tuck, and run, and go back and live like the world, and we'll never be happy in the world because God has something better for us. Number one, I've got to sacrifice my flesh to walk in the love of God. And then secondly, I've got to separate from sin. Walking after the Spirit is a mental decision, not an emotional action. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." It wasn't a, well, if you feel like it, if you get around to it, if it feels good, just do it. You're going to stumble. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're not going to live perfectly, but just walk.
Amen.
A just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. Just get up and take another step. You fall down, you get back up and you take another step. You get back up and you keep on walking. Those spiritual legs will begin to be gaining strength. And the longer you get up, the more and longer you'll be able to walk. And the more strength you'll be able to gain, and the more you'll walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Every one of us are looking forward to heaven, yes, to see Jesus. But I think I'm looking forward to get rid of that sin nature. Because some days I just get so angry that I want to love God more. I want to do more, but my stinking rotten flesh gets in the way. My mind is interfering. What do I got to do? I got to get on my knees and I got to yield myself and say, "God, I'm going to mess up today, but I'm going to try."
Amen.
I'm gonna lay aside the flesh. I'm gonna be willing to separate myself from sin. You gauge how well you're walking by who you choose to listen to. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit or are you listening to the flesh? When you go to bed tonight, stop and think. How many times today did I recognize God in my life? How many times did I stop and yield to the Holy Spirit? How many times did I stop and meditate on a truth of God's Word? Or did I spend today consumed with my life and my actions? We're all busy. Many of you are businessmen. I understand that. But we all have a Christian life to live. And we all have to a certain point be willing to put God first in our life. Set aside our flesh and our desires. We've got to choose to listen to the Holy Spirit. My love for God is not determined by what I say or by how much I'm convinced myself that I'm a good person. My love for God is determined by my willingness to sacrifice my flesh and separate from sin. Number one, to follow God, we must walk in love and not in the flesh of the lust of this flesh. Secondly, we are commanded to, if we are to follow God, that we must walk in the light and not linger in the dark. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As long as I'm in the light, I'm walking in the light. But as soon as I leave the light, I'm walking in darkness.
Right.
I know that was a deep, profound thought. Let me explain that again. When it's light outside, I can see where I'm going.
Amen.
When it's dark outside, I can't. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What's the Bible call the word of God? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm walking in a dark world. This world is not naturally light. This is a world of darkness, of sin, of fleshliness. So if I'm going to walk in the light, I've got to dwell in the light. I've got to have the Word of God hid in my heart. I've got to be yielded to the Holy Spirit in my life. I've got to choose to walk in the light and not linger in the darkness. We are not to allow others, spiritual leaders, or even ourselves to convince us that it's okay to spend a little time around the things of ungodliness. Well, I've just had so much church this week, I've got to have a little bit of carnality. That's dangerous. If you find yourself, well, I know this isn't the best show, but I've had so much of God this week, I need a little bit of worldliness. Danger.
Right.
You're walking in darkness. You've began to deceive yourself and in your life that some carnality is okay. We are not to be walking as times past. Bible tells me in Proverbs 2:13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2 through 3, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit, lowercase s, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But remember, where we love God, we've crucified the flesh. I am not to linger in the darkness just a little while longer. Moses came to Pharaoh and said, hey, I'll get rid of these frogs for you. You let my people go. You want to know what Pharaoh said? Pharaoh said, give me one more night with the frogs.
Yeah.
I'm afraid there's too many Christians to say, God, give me one more night with the frogs.
Yeah.
Give me one more night with my sin. Give me one more day. I just need a little bit more of enjoyment. And we linger in the darkness. We're not to walk as we used to walk. Every one of us who were when we were born, we were sinners. We were lost on our way. Many may not have lived a life of sin, but the only difference between you and somebody else is that you did not experience the full result of living in sin. But you need to realize you're only one decision away from becoming like those who did.
Amen.
Don't walk as in times past. We should live happily serving Christ, knowing that we are not only escaping hell when we die, but while on earth, we also get to escape the results of sin. I don't have to live my life looking over my shoulder, wondering when the judgment of God will come in my life. I can live free with a clear conscience, excited and happy to be a Christian. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin. The only way to be free from sin is to walk in the Spirit, is to obey. You can't just wishful thinking and be a better person. You've just got to act by faith. Many want to see a way before they obey. God says obey and you'll begin to see the way. Being made free from the sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The teenagers could finish this quote. You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. You're either going to serve somebody who wants the best from you, or you're going to serve somebody who wants the best for you. Why do we want to serve the world? It's a dog-eat-dog world. Take what you can, leave the scraps behind. Why do we wait till our life is falling apart to realize we need Him? Give Him the best. Amen. Serve somebody who's looking out for your best interests. Don't fall prey to thinking that the bright lights and the wonderful time that the world shows is where it ends. Look behind the alleyways of the bright casinos and you'll find the homeless. Go to the nursing homes and you'll see the teenagers who have been burnt out. Go to the hospitals and you'll see the results of sin. Walk in the light, not in the darkness. Open your eyes, Christian. Don't be blinded to your own carnality, convincing yourself that your sin is okay. Somebody else is not, but mine is okay. I should not be deceived by man's wisdom in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait. I should not allow my own wisdom to deceive me. In 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. Let him be a fool that he may be wise. Ephesians 4:22, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God, folks. I've got the same mind available to me. The only difference between you and Jesus Christ was He was here is we're not filling ourselves with this book. We're not yielding to the Heavenly Father. We're being deceived by man's wisdom. We're allowing the carnality of this world to convince us that our lifestyle is okay. Well, we're not as bad as they are. Well, I haven't done that. The world's not the standard. Another Christian's not the standard. The Word of God is the standard. Amen. It's like that young cowboy that went out west. He saw a mountain out in the distance. He says, wow, that's big. He got a little closer and he said, wow, that's really big. He got up to the base and he said, oh my goodness. The closer you get to God, the bigger He's going to look.
That's good.
You can get to a point in your life where when you read Psalms chapter 51, and David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Wash me, purge me from my sins. When you can read that and not be convicted of sin in your life, it's time to take a second look at your view of your own life. How close to God are you? We need to keep our life in tune with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, not with what we think we are doing that's okay in the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Be careful, Christian. When he is lifted up in pride, that's when they fall. When Israel became strong, they turned from a dependency on God to a dependency on man. We said, number one, you need to walk in the love of God. Number two, you need to walk in the light and not linger in the darkness. We need to be aware of the consequences of our sin. And lastly, number three, you need to walk in the Lord's will, not in man's way. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15, the Bible tells me, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What's that word circumspectly mean? To be aware of my surroundings and to be aware of my actions. If I'm driving down the road and I'm watching all the other cars and I'm watching people behind me, I can't be aware of my own actions. I've got to be solely focused on my actions. I've got to be focused on Jesus Christ. I've got to be focused on the path of which He's called me to live. I don't have time to look at everybody else's life. I don't have time to look at how bad the world is, because I've got my hands full of making sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've got to walk in the Lord's will. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, as wise. We need to be careful of that roaring lion. Be sober, be vigilant for that devil, the roaring lion seeketh about whom he may devour. I've got to be aware of my own actions. What is the will of God for my life? Ephesians chapter 5 tells me what the will of God is in verse number 17. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is it? Verse number 18 and verse number 19 tell me that I need to speak and to think right. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We hear that word wine, that alcohol, and no, you shouldn't get drunk. You shouldn't have that in your system. I realize that, but let's expand this thought a little bit. Let's take that, the spirits of this world, the fleshliness, the carnality, those things that cause our eyes to not be sober. That word "be sober and vigilant" was not saying don't be drunk. It says don't become intoxicated. Don't allow your fleshliness. Don't allow the sin that's in your life to blur your vision, to blur your view of God's way and what God has intended for you. I need to make sure that I'm speaking and thinking right, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What do you talk about? When you're with your family in the car, what do you talk about? When you're by yourself and you think nobody's watching and you're talking to yourself, what do you talk about? What are you singing? Do you have a song in your heart? Do you go home and one of the things I enjoy the most about choir and about choir practice is those songs just get stuck right in my head. You sing them 1,000 times to sing them one time in church. Now, that's a bummer. No, it's not. Because then 6 months later, I wake up humming a song. My wife the other day, I don't know what time it was, she drilled me in the ribs and said, "Josh, stop it." I said, "What?" He goes, "You're singing." I said, "Oops. Sorry about that. I don't take it that far. Don't go singing in your sleep." But what do you think about? Is your mind meditated on God's Word? There is so much goodness. I'll speak on this Sunday night. There is so much propaganda in this world. We've been convinced that the world is bad and falling apart. Everything was made beautiful by God. This world is still beautiful. There are still good things in life. America is still great. There's still Christians. There's still churches on fire for God. There's still people getting saved, living right for God. Don't listen to the media. Don't think about all the things that are going wrong. Allow God to fill your mind and encourage you and strengthen you to walk in the Lord's will, not in man's way. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 tells me that part of the will of God is being thankful always for all things unto God. I may not enjoy what I'm being thankful for. I'd never forget the day where the church was not going where I wanted it to go, and I was struggling, saying, "Lord, I'm doing what I was taught to do. I'm working hard." I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, you do whatever it takes to use my life." You be very careful when you pray that, though. When you get on the same page with God, and we had a long conversation, I said, "God, I love my wife. Don't take her. But she is yours. You can have her if you want her." Little did I know that within 6 months we would see the first of 3 miscarriages in our life. I was not thankful for those times in my life. But today, as I got a call, it was a good thing I was by myself. We were so excited. I said, "Lord, I honestly can say thank you for not giving us children of our own." It wasn't easy, but I am so excited. I am so thankful that you've given us the opportunity to be a service to those children who need a loving family, to show them God's love that they may not have ever gotten. And you've given us an opportunity that we would have never chosen if you'd have given us children. We've been able to help so many people. We've been able to see God do so many things through our life. We weren't thankful that it happened necessarily, but we looked beyond the pain and the hurt, and we saw that God might be able to use it for His glory. I am not to spend my life complaining about all that I think has gone wrong in my life, but rather I am to be thankful for all that God is doing with me, through me, and for me. Ephesians 5:20. I am to submit. In order to walk in the Lord's will, I must be submissive. I think Brother Mike taught this a few weeks back in Sunday school out of the book of Romans. So many things in life would be solved if we would just learn to submit. The woman is to complete, not compete. A husband and a wife are to be unified, not seek for equality. So many things in life we've twisted. We're walking in man's ways, not God's ways. If I submit myself to you, it doesn't matter what happens at that point, because I have given my will over to something greater than I. When I submit to walking in God's will, I am more prone to submit to the people that God has placed in my life. Whether it be my wife, my pastor, my boss, my employer, whether it be somebody, a government official, I may not agree with them. I may not necessarily even think they've done right, and I may have boundaries that I cannot cross, but I can still be submissive. Submitting. Are you submitting in your life? Have you submitted your life to God? The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You have been given a command to follow God. In order to follow God, we must, number 1, walk in the love of God, not in the lust of the flesh. Number 2, we must walk in the light. We must not linger in the darkness. And number 3, we must walk in the Lord's will, not in man's ways. I'll close with Colossians 2:6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." I received Him willingly. I received Him by faith. And I humbly received Him. So that means I should willingly walk. It's my reasonable service.
Yes, sir.
I should by faith walk. Well, I just don't understand. You have faith of a mustard seed. You got to have faith to obey. And I've got to walk humbly. The longer we serve God, the more prone we are to getting a big head, and more prone we are to convince we can do it on our own. It shouldn't be that way. It should be the closer we get to God, the more we realize we need Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we thank You for this evening. Lord, the truth was extremely simple, but yet important in our lives. Lord, You've given us a command to follow You. You've heard the Word of God preached this evening. In just a moment, we'll have an altar call. If you're here this evening, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the first thing you need to do in order to have victory over the flesh and over sin is to accept Him as your Savior. For those of us that have been saved, systems check this evening. Look at your life. How close to God are you walking? Or do you feel it's okay? You're doing all right on your own. You don't need Him.